This is a replay of the Thursday night, January 30th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings. And unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And I swear, every day I read something else about what's going to kill me, and potentially, and I realize that sooner or later, I'm just going to stop eating. Yeah, there is no choice. Now, actually, I was going to talk to you about potatoes, and I will. But since then, I found troubling news on Coca-Cola. Yeah, oh no, don't take my Coca-Cola away. Well, actually, for me, I prefer Mexican Coke, and that's all it's got is a little bit of cane sugar and caffeine and whatever the Coca-Cola ingredient is that they don't tell you, and that's it. By the way, they don't sell it in Mexico anymore. They've gone to the dark side, and they're using high fructose corn syrup. But they know there is a consumer market in the U.S., so a couple of bottlers in Tijuana and also in Juarez continue to bottle it for us. Yes, our specialty beverages. But Coca-Cola has said they've not received any consumer complaints. Fortunately, this is not in the U.S. This is Great Britain and several other European countries. And they've alerted the authorities. They'll continue to collaborate. It's only affected a very small number of cans. However, Coca-Cola Original, Zero Sugar, Diet Coke, Sprite Zero, Appetizer, which clearly they don't sell here, and more are affected. So what is in this? And they say, well, it has higher levels of chlorate than we're comfortable with. I'm like, chlorate? What's chlorate? Yeah, do I really want to drink this? Well, apparently, high levels of chlorate can cause health problems, thyroid problems, especially in young children and old people and stuff like that. And so the real question is, do you want to ingest chemicals of which you've never heard before this in soft drinks? Chemicals that, in the case of chlorate, are also used in the production of fireworks and disinfectants. Now, I realize this is a small quantity, and you're probably saying, well, what the heck is this? Chlorate is a substance that they use to disinfect, and they discovered it in the factories in Ghent, Belgium, apparently, and apparently it can also limit the blood's ability to absorb oxygen, and can cause all those nastiness like nausea and vomiting, and you know the rest of that. And so, I would think that when I was reading my list of ingredients, if it said chlorate anywhere on that, I would not be a happy puppy. So what exactly are they doing with the chlorate? Well, it's a byproduct. It's not chlorate itself that they're using. They're using chlorine-based disinfectants in water treatment and in food processing, and the byproduct is chlorate, and they try to keep it to a very low level, but apparently independent analysis said a little bit higher than you might want it. So that's the latest. Yeah, I'm telling you, Mexican Coke, it's the way to go. Now, let's get to these potatoes. I know, Coca-Cola and French fries, does it get better than that, really? Well, when you think about dangerous foods, you know, peanuts come to mind for those with allergies, or puffer fish, which could kill you. You might not even be down for sushi, I'll leave that to you. But rarely does anybody think that the standard potato, yeah, the kind, the Idaho potato, right, the kind that is in every grocery store and on every plate sooner or later, that could be a problem. The simple potato, what could be more innocuous than this? Well, there's one woman who wound up in the hospital, and she's warning others, and apparently some people have died. So what's the deal? Well, it's actually easy to avoid, providing you can see the potatoes or have somebody around you who can, because it happens when they are green. And not only are they green, but when they're turning green, that's when you want to throw it away. But if you don't throw it away, for God's sakes, if they've got a lot of eyes, don't eat the eyes of a green potato. And what will you get? You'll get something called solanine. I know, it's kind of like chlorate. You're saying, what? Solanine is produced when potatoes undergo photosynthesis and turn green. And if they're stored in a place with direct sunlight, that's going to happen. And so the bottom line is that it can be more than just your pesky diarrhea and everything that comes with it. It can include hallucinations, delirium, a coma, and extreme cases, death. Now, it was about almost 45 years ago now. It was 1979. There were 78 schoolboys who were sickened. They ate in the school cafeteria. Well, the potatoes were left in storage from the previous term. And needless to say, nobody died, but they were all pretty sick. But long before them, in 1899, an issue happened to 56 German soldiers who'd eaten cooked green potatoes. And then there was a family of seven in 1925, and two of those died, unfortunately. And in 1983, 61 school children and staff in Canada fell ill within minutes of eating them. Now, the cases of fatality are rare in this, fortunately, but the cases of feeling awfully sick like you want to die are not so rare. So, bottom line, if they're green, throw them out. If you won't throw them out, at least cut the green parts off, and for God's sakes, remove the eyes, because the eyes contain higher concentrations of solanine. And bottom line, though, unless it's the only thing you can eat and you haven't eaten in a week, if the potato is green, throw it out. And when you're storing them yourself, dark place, out of sunlight, preferably not too hot. That's your best bet. All right. So, of course, there were 9 zillion commenters, don't you know, and others were saying, oh, just cut the green off, pop the eyes out, and just cook them. Been doing this all my life. Never, yeah. Well, that's fine. Maybe some souls are hardier than the rest of us, but I would say all the way around, no. Then we have the engaged couple. And this happened right after Christmas. They were, one was British and the other was South African, and 33 and 36-year-old, as far as that goes. And they died in Vietnam, and it was tainted limoncello, or limoncello, whatever this is. Hell, for all I know, it's Peter Limoncello, but no, all right. A British woman and her South African fiancé found dead in a villa. And what they discovered now, because it's been about a month, and they discovered that the couple was thought to have consumed tainted homemade limoncello bought from a local restaurant on Christmas Eve. And they were found dead. So what killed them? Methanol. All right, you're in a foreign country. Homemade are not the two words you want to see ever. Just no. And so they were discovered in separate rooms at a hotel in Vietnam, and they'd taken out a lease on a 9-bedroom guest house and had been hosting guests on the property. And apparently, the Vietnamese police have confirmed that that the couple actually was there, had moved to the country in February of 2024, gotten engaged 3 weeks before their deaths, died from methanol poisoning. So what did that? Well, the contaminated alcohol in the quote-unquote homemade limoncello bought from a local restaurant. Yeah, homemade, the two words you don't want to see together if you're traveling abroad or pretty much anywhere. Yeah, so the Vietnam police have confirmed it. We're talking about this when it happened, when they were found dead. Like, what did it? Well, methanol poisoning is what did it. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. You ready to eat? Oh, I've got more, but maybe I'll spare you and play some of your requests coming up on WGN Radio.
said tonight, tomorrow night, will all the thrills be gone? Tomorrow night, will it be just another memory? Or just another lovely song? It's in my heart to linger on. Your lips are so tender, your heart is beating fast, and you willingly surrender.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Lonnie Johnson. Tomorrow night, Lonnie Johnson's theme song on King, 1948. It was written a decade earlier, but when Lonnie put it out, that was a number one R&B record. All right, why do we play it? Because I promised Don and Beloit I'd play something by Lonnie Johnson that I could tolerate, and there you have it. Say hello, Don.
Hey, there you go. I was going to suggest that one, too. That's great.
All right, well, good. Glad you liked it.
I guess Elvis did a version of that sort of Elvis version of something similar to that.
Well, who hasn't? You know, like I say, this was written in 1939, and I think originally it was Horace Height, and his musical nights and all that. And then everybody, Jimmy Dorsey, Patti Page, Elvis Presley, Laverne Baker, Jerry Lee Lewis, Pat Boone, Brooke Benton, Bob Dylan, Tom Jones, and I'm probably leaving several out.
Yeah. You're touching on topics I'm really good at. You know, these water chemistries and so on are another poison. You were referring to these chloramines, chloro compounds, bromo chloro compounds that are all over these byproducts of disinfecting drinking water, for example.
Yeah, just horrifying, isn't it?
Well, you just gotta be smart, you know. These are all, there to presumably help us. You know, you're disinfecting things to kill the bad bacteria and germs that can kill us. But on the other hand, all these things have a lot of background, like little tiny trace of organic matter, let's say, for example.
Yeah.
So I think the best thing to do is, you know, activated carbon is the best. It just removes so much. It also removes great amounts of lead.
Two things it doesn't touch that some of us refuse to ingest, one of which is fluoride and the other of which is arsenic.
You could be right on the arsenic.
Yeah, well, see, we got a lot of that because it's a mining byproduct. Absolutely. And that's where there's very few things that will remove chloride. And a lot of people will go ahead and say, well, just do reverse osmosis. The problem with reverse osmosis, as you know, since you study this stuff, is it removes everything, absolutely everything. And so then it's a question of what are you going to add back and how are you going to add it? And the other is to use alumina, which is not the same as aluminum, as you know. That'll do it.
These multi, everybody now, you know, you just go to the hardware store or any Walmart, whatever you want to shop at, and find these multi-stage different pitcher filters that don't just have the carbon in them, but I believe they have these other things in them as well.
Well, right, but they also, these pitchers tend to be plastic, and I don't care that they say, no, don't worry, it's not dangerous plastic. It's still plastic.
Right. Filtration, carbon, carbon is just really good stuff.
Yeah, as long as you're not worried about the fluoride.
Yeah, well, another thing I think people don't really realize is that these towns, these little big cities, these megalopolises, they all have to report these water samples that they take.
Once a year. It comes
go online and usually in seconds, within seconds, you can go to your town's municipal water department and see, here's our 2023 results from 157 tap water samples we took or something.
Also, once a year, they got to send it with their bills. So look out for that, because it will come every year. And the other thing is, when you talk about the small towns, few of them anymore are doing their own water. You know, it's just like everything else, yeah. Conglomeration. Yeah. You know, you've got a couple of companies, one of them in Canada, that has systems all over the country. So, you know, you may be in Elephant's Breath, Montana, but that might not be local water from that standpoint. And the other thing, of course, right. is people who think, well, I'll just drink bottled water. Well, that can be a real crapshoot.
Yeah, yeah. You spoke about the filtration and the RO. I do a lot of RO stuff, and you're right. It takes a lot of stuff out, like calcium, magnesium.
Everything.
You know, it really takes.
Yeah. It's literally like drinking distilled water. And if you do that without adding some minerals back, ultimately, you may not be a happy camper.
That segues to something I wanted to tell you and our friends out there in Radioland. I play hockey, as you know, like from the western suburbs of Chicago to Madison, right?
Uh-huh.
At the moment, I'm on five teams, but
oh god,
it's great. I mean, that's better than six or seven, maybe, but I love it. So I won't say where, but one of these places, one of our old buddies, he thought he was having a heart attack. He's in good shape. I think this guy's in his mid 60s, and he's in very good shape. He's a good player, and we're with him all the time. And he felt like he was having a heart attack. I mean, really serious, like.
So the first thing to check is check that potassium level before you do anything else.
Blood pressure 220 over 110, like crazy. And his heart was squeaked. It was because your magnesium, as I'm looking this up, it's supposed to be between 1.7 and 2.2 milligrams per deciliter. And I think that calcium is like maybe twice that or something. His was 0.01. He had nothing.
Right.
Nothing in the system.
Right. Yeah, the trace minerals are really important, and if you are going to be drinking what's basically distilled water, you need to supplement with the trace minerals. And usually when people think they're having a heart attack, you're right, magnesium can be a sign, but I'll tell you what, if your potassium levels are off, all bets are off.
That's certainly the case. I, of course, I ran home and kind of like looked at what's got magnesium in it, and I looked at my supplements, and I take a bunch of supplements, but only like half doses here and there and things like that. So I take a little bit, but I was looking online, what's got magnesium and calcium that I can eat?
Well, the other thing, of course, if you're going to do it by supplements, you want to know what kind of, you know. If you want to be more regular in the bathroom, magnesium citrate is fine. If you don't, magnesium citrate can be a disaster. Magnesium malate can be great for some things. I mean, there's, of course, chelated and all that. So form is important in terms of how much of that your body's actually going to use.
I made note that, and I kind of upped my level of it. I have to admit, I've kind of like changed this up a little bit, but I've always eaten nuts and seeds, the flax seed on my cereal, and leafy vegetables is great. And the doctors told him his heart is great. Yeah. Keep playing hockey, but they said dark chocolate is one of the go-tos.
Dark chocolate and bananas.
Yeah, okay, that's very good.
Yeah, and to an extent, avocado, if you like that kind of stuff.
Oh, I love avocado.
Oh, avocado, very good. You know, spinach is very good. The dark chocolate is wonderful, but it's really got to be dark chocolate, not just called that, because you don't want any of the milk chocolate present in it, because that's going to do you no good at all. But the bananas are really good.
Milk.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right, exactly.
Milk products.
You don't want to do that.
Well, listen, you're really making a difference here. Like, you're getting the message out to people on many topics. But I like it when we go medical.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much for playing my song.
That's
great.
Okay,
that's great.
All right. So we'll get to Bonnie and Butternut Jaffrey and Alsop. There's room for you, too. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, particularly if it has no importance whatsoever. All right. Yes, so it's for entertainment value only. But right now, we'll move from entertainment to the news on WGN Radio.
Oh, what a crazy party, all the gang's here too. The beat is really jumping like a kangaroo. I'm full of cherry soda and potato chips, but now I want to get a taste of your sweet lips. So dim, dim the light.
Dim, dim the light.
Dim, dim the light.
Dim, dim the light.
Turn down the light. I want some atmosphere. The furnace
rocketeer is bouncing around the room with glee and rocking like a boat upon a stormy sea. But dig the crazy clock, it's running wild tonight, but still I haven't had a chance to hold you tight. So dim, dim the lights,
dim, dim the lights,
dim, dim the lights,
dim, dim the lights,
turn down the lights, I want some atmosphere. Looking at his earrings bouncing off the back, look at Susie kissing and a hugging Jack, look at Nancy dancing in her stocking feet. We're all going crazy with the mambo beat.
Bio, 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 bio.
Well, everybody's really having lots of fun, but honey, as for me, the night has just begun. 'Cause now I want to tell you things and hold you tight, but how can I do it with a room so bright? So dim, dim the light.
WGN Radio, I'm Holly James, and yes, that's Bill Haley and his Comets. Dim, dim the lights. Dave in Chicago wanted to hear it. Yes, 1954 on Decca. Yeah, right before Blackboard Jungle, so before a lot of people knew him. Though the Saddlemen were certainly performing regularly, certainly around the Philadelphia area, but others as well. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Bonnie is in Butternut. So, Bonnie, welcome to WGN Radio. How's it going tonight?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
It's going okay. It's a little milder today than it had been. And, of course, the lake is quite frozen,
yeah,
but not in all spots. So I'm going to email you a few pictures, because not only are they ice fishing, a little car went down into the lake.
Oh, God.
And I'll send you the recovery on that.
Yeah.
But my condolences to Lisa and her two losses. Feel bad for Kevin, who got thrown out of his house.
Yes.
And it sounds as though everybody's having a 2025 not so good.
Well, you know, this was what was predicted. Now, I don't know that I put much stock in all the psychics and astrologers and all the woo-woo people, but I will say that for the last 6 months or so, they've been kind of consistent. They go about it in different ways, but they all talk about that there's going to be a lot of upsets this year, weather-wise, and of course, we saw the fires in Pacific Palisades, which was a real shock. Not that California wildfires are a shock, but being where it was. And, of course, we're seeing all sorts of things. What happened at Reagan National yesterday is, one of those things that really gets your attention. And we'll keep seeing these things. But the bottom line is supposedly that with all these harsh endings, new beginnings are formed out of that. And theoretically, the year is supposed to end very well.
Well, I hope so. And this is my own story, is because on the 21st of December, my neighbor, which for 25 years passed away, lost her battle with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days later, I ended up in the ER again with AFib, having to be a cardioversion for the third time.
Right.
And on New Year's Eve, the lady across the street from us at 55 years old passed away. And on the 13th, the lady on the other side passed away.
Yeah.
So there's been three ladies within a half a mile radius that have passed away.
And
I feel like the last man standing.
Oh, no.
Well, and the sad part about it is, for me, is because then last Friday, I ended up again in the ER with my fourth cardioversion.
Oh.
And I am scheduled for an ablation procedure on the 10th, and they're trying to move it up, but they don't have another heart surgeon that can be right there if case anything were to go wrong.
Yes, and you need that. You absolutely need that. So
I'm trying to keep in check and not to make any visits to the ER.
Right, but if you have that arrhythmia, you know darn well, you go.
Well, that's it. And I do have three home devices that have proven each time since the 4th of July. And I believe I talked to you around that time also when I was in the hospital. But I have three devices, at home devices. And I'm fortunate that I know when I'm in AFib. A lot of people don't know when they're in AFib. You're and then these devices prove it.
Right.
And so then I take off and I go. But I just wanted to tell my story that it's really been a crazy 2025.
Yeah, and I hear this from everybody as far as that starting out. And, you know, just the other day, I listened to all these nuts when I'm trying to go to sleep. I try to find things on YouTube that are not so interesting that I'll change my mind and start thinking, and not so boring that I'll, you know, I'll zone out completely. And so I wind up with a lot of these, you know, woo-woo people and these near-death experiences and these other seers and whatever. And one thing that I was just telling John, I said, well, this one says that 2025 is the year the world's population will peak at 8.5 billion people. And then because of the new vibrations that are coming in, by 2030, we'll be down to 2 billion. Like, what? You know, I mean, if that doesn't wake up, nothing will. And, you know, it's not war and it's not pestilence or anything like that. It's that people will check out because they it's their time to go, that they're not part of these new vibrations. So who knows?
Well, it's strange. It's very strange. And two things yet. I've missed a couple of the programs, and I try to download them and listen to them when I can. Has Leah been in contact?
No, and we are very concerned. In fact, we've been finally putting together these certificates of the winners, and of course, Leah won a lot of times on trivia. And I said, well, I guess when it comes down to it, we'll just mail it and see if it comes back, because we have not heard a thing. And I've done the shout-out, and I'll do it again. Leah, if you are listening, or, you know, as far as that goes, if you know Leah, give us a call and give us an update. Yeah, we have not heard a thing.
Well, she had a significant other that used to.
Yes, Albert, and he has not been doing well. So,
okay. That's a shame.
I think that Leah has sent me an email in the past. I'm going to look for that because, like I say, I don't want to abuse her home address and all that because she was a winner. You know, I'll send winner stuff, but I'm not going to do anything other than that. But I will, in the package that we send, put a note in there if we don't hear from her beforehand saying, please let us hear from you.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah,
and,
it would.
One request now.
Yes.
Johnny Ace, I Pledge My Love.
Yeah, Pledging My Love. Yeah, I knew it would be that since he had no other hit, but that was a big one, and it was posthumous.
Yeah. So there we go.
You betcha. I'll do it for you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Have a nice evening.
You too. Appreciate it. Bye. All right. So 888-876-5593, 888-Raleigh. All right, so now let's see what we've got here. I see. Jeffrey and Alsop, I can't imagine it says Rolling Stone songs. You are calling the wrong show, you know. Hello,
yeah,
Jeffrey. Hello, Jeffrey.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, do you remember Mariette Faithful?
Of course, Marianne Faithful, yes, of course.
Yeah, well, she passed on today or yesterday or something.
I'm sorry to hear that. I did not hear that news yet. But
yeah,
you know, we're all going.
I remember her. She got involved with the Beatles.
Well,
and she got with the Rolling Stones. And I was going to make a request. She did a song called "As Tears Go
By." That was her big hit here. And which everybody else and their brother has done. But I'll play that grudgingly. I will. I'm glad you didn't ask for some of the other stuff, so at least you kept it.
No, but that's the one I can remember.
Well, because it was a big hit. You know, it was a huge hit.
Anyway.
And Mick Jagger co-wrote it along with Keith Richard and all that. And I think Andrew Lou Goldham produced it. So, sure, I've got it. As Tears Go By. Okay. You're the first person who ever asked me to play it, so I'll do it for you.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I wouldn't have thought of it, except where I heard that she passed out. At least today I heard.
Yeah.
It brought back so many memories, because when I was little, I could remember some of her music.
Yeah, right.
And that was the one I really liked.
Right. Well, for many people in the States, that's the only one they know. So I will be happy to find that, because I'm sure it's on this computer, and play it for you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. My pleasure. All right. That was on Decca in Great Britain. Here it was out on London, and you might remember it. Probably a bluish-green label if you've got it in your collection, and we can do that. Yes, I sit and watch as tears go by. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And Cindy in Chicago, we've got some of her requests we're going to play tonight. So what's up, Cindy?
Yeah, something real terrible. You know, it could have been real terrible what happened, what could have happened. I don't know why stuff like this happens to me, but it just, you've just got to be, if you're a city person, you got to be on your toes 24/7.
All right, so what is it?
Okay, so I'm pulling out of the parking lot of the condo. You know, and I was just going to put my foot on the accelerator and pull up, you know, because I'm at an near an intersection, you got to make sure you can nose out and turn to the left. So all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden, 12 of the high school freshmen come running across. I just saw them at the last minute, running across the street, jaywalking, and walked. I wouldn't say, they didn't walk into my car, but if I would have been going forward, I don't know what would have happened.
Well, nothing did. So you see, you don't need to worry about this.
Yeah, I know, but it scared the crap out. I mean, right. I have a dash cam in my car. I mean, they were jaywalking. What would have happened to me if something would have happened?
Well, that depends. You've got the dash cam, and who knows? If they walked into your car, you probably wouldn't be liable. But there would be a lot of paperwork. But the bottom line is, it didn't happen.
I know, but they're just, they're children, and I don't want to hurt nobody.
Well,
and,
of course not. But it's over now. See, we're trying to get you to think less. You survived it.
Yeah,
it got all the adrenaline going through your body, and your legs started to shake and all that, and then you got over it.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'm just going to take a shower, wash the kitchen floor, and make Hungarian walnut almond apple cake.
Alert the fire department.
From my Hungarian cookbook. Okay. And then what else am I going to do? I'm done day trading till Monday.
All right. Very good.
I made $250 Monday and $66 back today, and I'm only like $1,200 down now.
Well, good luck on that.
Yeah, I just trade it back. I know how to do it. I mean, can't wait for it to go up anymore. All right.
So we will get some of your requests on, and you're not going to think about it anymore because you're safe and the kids are safe and everything is good.
Thanks. Such beautiful little boys, beautiful young children.
None to worry. All right, we'll talk to you later. All right, so yes, we're enrolling Cindy in Thinkers Anonymous. She entirely thinks too much. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, we've got Jeff in Beloit, and we've got, James on the south side in the store. Eduardo in Tampa. Oh, that's right, the doctor visit. I want to hear about that. Dave in Chicago's got a request, and I'm going to play another one coming up on WGN Radio.
When the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight. Oh, you're lovely with your smile so warm and your cheeks so soft. There is nothing for me but to love you just the way you look tonight. With the
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and there it is. It was Rita in Harwood Heights who says, play any version of The Way You Look Tonight that you like, and that's my favorite. Of course, that's the Jaguars from November of 1956, and it was a wonderful song all the way around, and that was on Ardell, A-R-D-E-L-L, and it's Bob Ross's label. In any event, it was an interesting story about the Jaguars, particularly the way they got their name. And they, like the Calvanes or the Flares or the Meadowlarks or the Medallions or the Penguins, they all came from Fremont High in South Central Los Angeles. And they in fact, in the case of the Jaguars, they started singing at the Fremont High Mixed Chorus. And they had their own little group they called the Shadows. And after a while, they said, well, we don't like being the Shadows. We'll become the Miracles. And so they become the Miracles, and they make initial recordings. In fact, John Dolphin, in Hollywood, Dolphins of Hollywood, John Dolphin would cut anything breathing. And so it was that cut two sides on the Miracles, these Miracles, and released them on Cash, one of John Dolphin's labels, but in such small quantities that they didn't even have enough to send any to a reviewer. So about a month after that, they're not happy. They hooked up with Bob Ross, and that's the Ardell label that I mentioned, and that's where their recording career began in earnest. But Ross did not like the name The Miracles. And again, remember, this is 1955, 56, so this is before Smokey Robinson and the... And so they're sitting around trying to think up a name. And the other person in the office that day was Stan Freberg, the comic and voiceover guy and commercial artist and all that kind of stuff, advertising agency, right? He was at Bob's office, and so he said, well, why don't you be the Jaguars? And so that was it. And they held a recording session about a month later on June, and that was the deal. And the first records didn't do very much, although they were on Hunter Hancock's Rhythm and Bluesville, the TV show. But nonetheless, it really wasn't until you got to The Way You Look Tonight, which became a doo-wop classic as far as that goes, and got reviews everywhere. And there were a lot of other things that came out at the same time. Nappy Brown did Little by Little, and The Moon Glows had Over and Over, and The Schoolboys had Shirley. So you had a lot of stuff, but I'll tell you, the Jaguars just stood out, and that was pretty much it for their career. After that, they released something called The City Zoo, and I guess nobody went. But and I don't think they sent that out for review, but, or if they did, nobody reviewed it. In any event, that was it. And then Lee Roop. Lee was Art Roop's ex-wife of Specialty Records, and she used the money she received in the divorce to set up a competing record label. That'll show them. And so Lee recorded the Jaguars, and they did a few things. And in fact, they went nowhere. And even back with John Dolphin for a while, and it did so very little. But nonetheless, I'll tell you, no matter what, the bottom line is The Way You Look Tonight. And you can kind of thank Art LeBeau for that, because when he first released his first Oldies But Goodies album, one of the cuts, The Jaguars, The Way You Look Tonight, and it became an East L.A. classic forever and ever after that. So, 888-876-5593, 888-ROLLYE. Jeff is in Beloit. What's up tonight, Jeff?
Well, I heard you talking about some foods, what was in food, and there's something I have a problem with. I was at a party where they had a reception, and they had a punch bowl, and in it they put Diet Pop, and I didn't realize at the time that I was so allergic to aspartame.
Yeah.
And I got a tremendous headache and felt ill the rest of the day.
Yeah.
The other time I eat or drink a bottle of Gatorade, and I didn't realize it was diet, and it went down and it all came up right away. Yeah. Is this a common thing? Have you heard about that? Or?
Oh, absolutely. There's a very, very, very sad story many, many years ago with the FDA. And, of course, the sweetener of choice for decades was saccharin. That was the Fisher family out of St. Louis who made saccharin. Anyway, the deal was that here comes Monsanto. And what do they have? They have a product that they're calling aspartame, right? Okay. It's aspartic acid. Anyway, next thing you know, the FDA goes through all these studies and finds out that saccharin is carcinogenic. Well, the amount of saccharin they fed to the rats was unbelievable. It's a wonder they didn't all drown, let alone get cancer. So nonetheless, they said, well, we can't have saccharin anymore. And so at that point, here comes Monsanto with aspartame, and it's the sweetener of choice. Now, ever since then, people have been talking about this. And one of the first was a woman out of Atlanta. I'm trying to think of her name, but she actually wrote books on this. She's dead now, but and not from aspartame. But she was great, and she brought to light all of these studies, including blindness and on and on and on. Again, of course, you know, you'd say, well, these are anecdotal, but they were certainly the kind of thing that would give you a lot of pause, after which they started to do real research. And in fact, the WHO in 2023 released a study saying that there's limited evidence, but there is evidence for carcinogenicity in humans. So aspartame is possibly carcinogenic to humans. And so what they're really saying is depends how much of this you're drinking, obviously. But a lot of people have trouble with aspartame, and to tell you how pervasive it is, it's not only in soft drinks and all sorts of other sugar-free ingredients, whether it's chewing gum or ice cream or dairy products or whatever, but believe it or not, it's actually in medicine. And this is where you really start to have your eyes turn around like a dying heifer in a hailstorm. Hang on a minute, don't go away, we'll talk more about it. And that's what it is. Yes, I'm going to think of that woman's name too. I will come back after the news on WGN Radio.
Arrested on charges of an unnamed farmer, he was sitting in the witness stand. The judge's wife called up the district attorney. She said, free that brown-eyed man. If you want your job, you better free that brown-eyed man. Flying across the desert in a TWA, I saw a woman walk across the sand. She'd been walking 30 miles en route to Bombay to meet a brown-eyed handsome man. Her destination was a brown-eyed handsome man. Way back in history, 3,000 years, in fact, ever since the world began, there's been a whole lot of good women shedding tears over a brown-eyed handsome man. It's a lot of trouble with a brown-eyed handsome man. A mother told her, darling, go out and find yourself a brown-eyed handsome man. Just like your daddy, he's a brown-eyed handsome man.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, 1956 on Chess. And that brown-eyed handsome man was the A-side. The B-side was Too Much Monkey Business. And that became, believe it or not, a country classic. Not the Chuck Berry version particularly, although that did very well on the R&B charts. But everybody covered this, from Waylon Jennings to Jerry J to Buddy Holly to Carl Perkins, you name it. But it was Cindy in Chicago who wanted to hear brown-eyed handsome man, and now she has. All right, so we're talking to Jeff in Beloit, and I thought of her name. The woman who really spread the word on a lot of this, her name was Betty Martini. She died last year in Atlanta. But it all started from an email that a woman named Nancy Markle wrote, supposedly. A lot of people think it was Betty herself, although she denied it strongly. In any event, let's go back. Before Monsanto bought it, it was Searle. And it was Searle in the early 70s that had a kind of a sweetheart relationship with the FDA. And here saccharin's out and aspartame is in. Well, of course, aspartame is aspartic acid in phenylalanine. And certainly people who are sensitive to phenylalanine can have huge problems, particularly if you've got some genetic markers, PKU. But the reality is that all of the studies are lacking on both sides. So all of the studies that say you're going to get brain cancer or you're going to go blind or this is going to happen, very lacking. And on the other hand, all of the efficacy studies, the safety studies, they're lacking as well. So the reality is there's a question mark. And when anyone...
Hello?
Yeah, are you there? You listening?
I'm here.
Yeah. So the reality is, anytime anybody asks me about phenylalanine aspartame, my answer is, if you are being affected by it, stop using it. Period. And is it absolutely unsafe for everybody? Jury's out on that. You know, like I say, the studies are not conclusive either way. But there's enough anecdotal experience that if you're having symptoms, drop it.
Well, I was going to say there's so much money being made, hundreds of millions of dollars. So it would be hard to get an accurate study that would be negative to their favor. But I was going to add to this. I used to deliver pizzas, and sometimes I still do. But whenever you get an order and it had a 2-liter of Diet Pop, you knew when you delivered it to that person, they're going to be 50 to maybe 200 pounds overweight.
Not necessarily. There's a lot of people who will drink diet soft drinks for other reasons. I will say that, including if they have type 1 diabetes, might not be heavy at all. So I understand why you're saying it, and yes, that's true, but not entirely.
Well, there would seem to be a certain commonality. I mean, you could bet on it. I mean, and definitely win money. The other story I have to add to that is I was at a garage sale, and I went up to this gal at the garage sale, and she said, she twirled, and she goes, "I just lost 180 pounds. I said, 180 pounds? I mean, she looked great. I said that. You look great. And she twirled again, and I go, "How long did it take you?" And she said, 30 days.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, I'm like, all right, I'll bite into this one. And she smiled again, and she goes, "I got a divorce."
Oh, shit. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, you know, actually, for people who are, fighting the battle of the bulge, it's tough. And all of these extreme weight loss methods come with the exact same result, and that is you'll gain it back. There's absolutely no way. Losing weight is fairly easy if you put your mind to it. Keeping it off can be a bitch.
Yes.
So, but
well, that's
yeah, but if you are, drinking things or whatever, eating things, and you're having reactions to aspartame, the heck with any of the studies, don't use it.
Oh, I think it would kill me if I drank I have a tendency to, I can't hold it down.
Well,
I'll just say it that way.
Have you ever done the genetic test to find out if you're PKU?
No, I mean, I hadn't gone to a doctor in 40 years,
okay.
Thank God. But,
all right. Well, yeah. when you are, you can have really, really bad reactions to it. And so whether it's NutraSweet, aspartame, Equal, it's all the same stuff. It's phenylalanine. So, yeah, I'd stay away from it if I were you.
It's good that you talk about it, and maybe more people will stop drinking it. But
yeah.
it's just so unbelievable that you could predict when you opened a door when you delivered pizza that they were going to be heavy. And I understand that some people can't have sugar, but I think there is a correlation between the aspartame and weight gain.
In some cases that's true. Now, sadly, especially in the 80s, what started to happen is a lot of parents didn't want their kids having the sugar rushes, the sugar zoomies, so they were giving their kids diet soda. I saw that routinely, and that was not necessarily a healthy thing. But yeah, there's a lot of studies that say you're fooling the brain, and that you're going to compensate by eating more junk, more sugary things, maybe not. But, it's like that old margarine commercial. It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. The reality is none of them. Sucralose, that's no walk in the park either. And even people who are just really raving about how stevia is so wonderful, there's a percentage of people who cannot touch stevia. So I'd listen to your body.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Raleigh. If you have time, I got one quick story. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I was driving pizzas, as I said, at night, and I look on the road, and I see a bunch of garbage, and then I see a bottle spinning around, and I look closer, and there's an animal with his head in the bottle.
Oh, no.
So I park the car. This is a good story.
Yeah.
So I park the car, and I get out, and I look at it, and it's a possum with his head in the bottle, and he's snarling, and you can hear his claws scraping against the pavement.
Yeah.
And I go, what a predicament. I said, this is going to be a horrible death for this animal.
Yeah.
It's just,
So I'm thinking, how can I get, you know, because he's snarling, he's really mad. You can hear the claws out. And I go, how am I going to get this bottle off his head? And it's about a foot long, and I got an idea. And I grabbed the bottle, and I'm trying not to get clawed. He was mad. You know? And so I started to spin around in a circle. And I got the centrifugal force going, and then I yanked on it.
Oh, wow.
And boop, out he popped.
Oh, that's
man,
great.
Was he mad. You know, when I look at him, because he was snarling at me and coming after me for a minute, I said, no. I said, you owe me in this life and your next.
That's right. Absolutely right. Yeah. I'll bet you he understood on some level.
Well, he waddled off, and it's a good story. He lived. Yeah. I mean, that would have been such a terrible thing to see.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. It's just and like you see these pictures of some marine life really caught up in these nets and other plastic things and all that. It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, I got a better one than that, but I'll call you some other time.
Right? I hope you will, and I'll look forward to that.
Thank you, Robbie.
Right,
you're always spot on. Thank you.
Thanks, appreciate it. 888-876-5593. Yeah, just you see those occasionally that fishermen have freed, you know, usually huge marine life, and most of the time, even these otherwise killer, you know, denizens of the sea, you can tell. They're thankful. Yeah, and who wouldn't be? So, 888-876-5593. Eduardo is in Tampa. So, what's up, Eduardo?
Hey, Ron. Well, I talked to the doctor on Wednesday, and I'm going to see her tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And she told me to do the ice pack.
Okay.
That's what I've been doing.
And how are you feeling? How are you feeling right
now?
I
haven't grown in size.
Okay, good. Good. So, you'll go tomorrow and get a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Well, good.
Yeah, so people I've been talking to, it's going to need, I guess, drainage or something. So
maybe.
It's kind of like fluids that build up, something like that. So
could be.
We'll see tomorrow when I visit the doctor.
Yeah.
If we, you know.
Well, the best news is you're not in pain.
No, and there's no, like, discoloration of the skin.
Right,
so,
right. Right. Things that would cause you to go a lot more quickly. No, it sounds like this is okay. And you got an appointment for tomorrow. So hopefully it will be something fairly simple.
Yeah. I should have acted on that sooner, but
yes,
you know.
Yes. But, you know, you have to do it when you're ready to do it. You know, it's like John is now doing neuroacupuncture for his stroke. And,
okay. You
know, he actually should have done this 2 months after the stroke, but he was just not ready. And so I get that, you know, these are decisions that you can only make. But, you know, but in the case when something looks alarming, then all bets are off, go immediately. But it sounds like you don't have anything alarming. You've got something chronic that they'll take care of.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll let you know next week how that goes.
Yes.
I was going to talk about Smith Brothers Farms. I saw this on Sunday NBC News.
Uh-huh.
So the guy's, I guess he's the grandson of the actual owner from 1920. It's outside of Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
They deliver food, not just milk.
Right, and they have been around, you know, a long time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've got a number of products. And, you know, it's interesting as far as milk delivery. That used to be the norm. Everybody used to get milk delivery. But,
right.
You know, anymore, not necessarily the case. So Smith Brothers expanded and they do all sorts of things.
Yeah, they're almost kind of like a mini Amazon in their area over there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so whether it's orange juice or carrots or whatever you want, you know, 9-grain cereal. They got it. Eggs at an advanced price like everywhere else. But yes. But yeah.
Yeah.
But they've...
You would think that something like that would kind of like fade out, but I guess not. I mean, in some areas it just doesn't, especially if you're not, if you're like outside. I mean, even something in your area, I don't know, they still do that over there.
Well, no. Unfortunately, we're certainly remote, but the area is so poor that it really can't be served by anybody. I mean, you know, I'd say something like 70% of the kids who go to school are on government lunches, you know, things like that. So it's okay. It's just economically not viable. But certainly in major cities, you're seeing a lot more delivery now. And I think people kind of enjoyed the convenience of it when the COVID lockdowns were happening. And a lot of them said, no, we don't want to give this up. We like it.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a debate about, well, is raw milk viable or...
Well, this is another...
people were getting
right,
sick.
Right.
Yeah.
And like if raw goat milk, you can get something called undulating fever and all that. Absolutely. Well, there's a big argument between pasteurization, which takes out a lot of nutrients, and the safety and efficacy of it. So, you know, it's not black and white. It's a gray area. And there are people who absolutely want to enjoy raw milk products. Well, you better damn well know the cow, as far as
yeah.
that goes, or certainly the agency or business that you know, procuring it. But not black and white, shade of gray. It's choose one from column A, one from column B, because, you know, pasteurization does take minerals out of it. There's no doubt about that. When you go to the grocery store and you see milk and its expiration date is 4 months from now, you know something's up with that. But at the same time, you know, if you don't know where the cow's coming from, so to speak, then maybe that's something you don't want to do. And I know there are in various places there are businesses that you know are staking their reputation on you know our cows are disease free and all that. But you know, it's up to you if you want to be the one to test that theory.
Yeah. Well, I got the Silk Protein Milk. That's the one I take. So.
All right. Well, I know Silk makes a lot of products that aren't milk, like milk substitutes, but they make milk products mm-hmm. as well. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
because I thought Silk was plant-based milk, like almond milk and things like that. I think
it could be, yeah.
Yeah, I think Silk is all plant-based products. I don't think they are dairy. I think it's like soy milk, oat milk, things like that.
Okay, so they're in that category then.
Yeah,
okay.
they're absolutely not milk. But look at and they make a lot of different varieties, and they make some that are unsweetened, and they make some that are sweetened and all that. And there's there's a number of companies that do, you know, almond milk. Half a dozen people make almond milk easy on the shelf, and they taste different. So you want to pick the one that you like. You know,
right.
So I have no problem with plant-based milk, quote unquote, but I think people need to have an idea of what they're drinking, and then try them all for taste, because one or two of them you may like, and some of the others you'll run screaming from the room.
Right.
So, you know, I think that some of the Silk products were discontinued. And I don't know, but they were, I think they were still all dairy free, even the ones that were discontinued. So yeah, look at your, it's not a bottle, actually, it's a carton. Look at your carton and it'll tell you what you're drinking.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely will.
Yeah. And report back. Well, definitely. I want you to let me know next week. My prayers will be with you that it is completely uneventful.
Yeah. And hopefully I'll get like some kind of like, I don't know, antibiotic, you know.
Well, you may not need.
You
may not need one. It might not be bacteria based. You know, the worst thing to do is take antibiotics when you don't have a bacterial problem. So
yeah, I mean the doc will know.
Yes, that's exactly. Well, they can also possibly extract something and look at it.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right. Well, keep me posted.
Definitely, Riley. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye.
Have a good weekend.
All right. You too. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We got Robert in Stickney. Oh, I've got a request to play for him as well. And James in Astoria and Laura in Willowbrook. Oh, yes. And Dave in Chicago's got a request. And there's one line available for you on WGN Radio.
I'm so close to Kathy. I know just what she's dreaming of. She always calls me up to tell me. Every time she falls in love. Oh, I'm so close. always for some other guy. Oh, why can't she see the one true lasting love in her life should be me? I'm so close to Kathy, as close as anyone can be, and I'll stay close to Kathy.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Mike Clifford, yeah, son of Cal Clifford, who was a trumpeter in Los Angeles for decades. And the interesting thing about that record, and yes, by definition, that's a Wimpy White record if there ever was one, Lieber Stoller produced it. Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking, but they produced Mike Clifford's lone hit, and not for a lack of trying. He put out an awful lot of records on an awful lot of labels, but it wasn't until 1962 on UA that Close to Kathy hit. And that was Robert from Stickney's request, and we'll talk to him and hopefully you right after the news on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And you can interrupt the show if you want to at 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, so that was a request. Yes, indeed. And I played it. And yes, Marianne Faithful, 1964, I think, on London. So that's the deal there. All right, 888-876-5593. What do we have with Robert in Stickney, our buddy who wanted Mike Clifford? All right, Robert, what's up?
Yeah, Raleigh. Yeah. First of all, thank you for sitting through that one.
Well,
but,
my pleasure.
I have a allergy story that happened to me years ago that I'd like to share with you.
Sure.
Because you were talking about allergies before. This was the fall of '61. Freshman in high school, 14 years old. We used to have we had a Halloween sock hop, you know, like they used to call them back then.
Sure.
And they used to distribute taffy apples.
Mm-hmm.
And the only taffy apples that were left by the time they got to us freshmen were taffy apples with nuts, globs and globs of nuts on them.
Ugh.
And I bit into that. I had no problems with allergies prior to that. And on my way home, my lips started swelling up. My tongue started swelling up. And thank God that my dad worked within about 5 minutes from the school. And he came over, took me to the doctor, and the doctor gave me a shot, what it was a nut allergy, terrible nut allergy. And he also said, the doctor said, had I gotten to his office maybe 5 minutes later, he would have had to perform a trach.
Right, because that's anaphylaxis. And the reality is,
yeah.
thank God it got as bad as it did, because if it didn't and you said, okay, well, I'll get over it, and you did, the next time you tried them could have been really fatal. So, because it is absolutely collective. But yeah, anaphylaxis is nothing to fool with. And lot of people have nut allergies, and some don't know it. And it's not only peanuts; it can be something else. But it's good if you good if you find out what your allergies are.
Right, and I even had to watch out for. At a restaurant, like fried chicken or something like that, it was fried in peanut oil. I couldn't even have that.
Right. You know? And sadly, you can go to Chick-fil-A and you can eat that peanut oil all you want, because they so refine it that it's not peanut oil. It won't bother you, but it also won't taste like it's supposed to.
Yeah, but that was really scary for a 14-year-old kid. You know,
Of course it is. And it's a wonder that you didn't experience it earlier.
Oh, really? Before prior?
Yeah, no, this was something you had your whole life. Now, it could have been that you were exposed to it a few times with just very mild symptoms and didn't notice it. That's what I mean by it being collective. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow. Yeah, so, but a lot of times kids know it earlier. And, of course, when you know you've got that kind of an allergy, you should probably carry an EpiPen.
I don't know. Did they have EpiPens in 61? I don't know if they did.
Saying now. I don't know. You probably had to go to the doctor for that shot. The only problem with EpiPens is they only last for a year, and they're frightfully expensive.
So yeah, that I know that they're. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I think EpiPen probably the mid 70s was the first time it got approved, but I don't think it was marketed then. I don't think it was marketed till the 80s.
Right. Yeah. It was quite a bit later than my experience.
Right. That's what I think.
However, I do in my medicine cabinet. I always keep a box of Benadryl.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you might at some point talk to your doctors and see if there's something else orally that might be more effective than that. You know, something by prescription.
Right. Yeah.
Because you know that.
So just wanted to share that.
And that stuff, by the way, pretty much lasts forever, even though it has an expiration date. I wouldn't worry about that. You know, assuming you're not taking anything that's liquid, most everything else, it's not going to degrade enough to be a problem.
Right. Oh, good. But I remember that till this day. You know?
Oh, of course. You'll never forget it. No.
Right. Yeah, I didn't realize how close to dying I could have been. Yeah.
Man, your throat closes and it cuts off your ability to breathe. It's just that simple. Your tongue your tongue thickens. Yeah.
Right.
Of course.
Right. That's what the doctor said. 5 or 10 minutes later, you would have had to perform a trach.
Exactly, because your tongue would have thickened and blocked off the airway, of course. Good. So now you're aware, and you stay away from it.
Yes.
All right. Well, good deal. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, brother. Bye-bye now.
That's why when they recall things that otherwise wouldn't hurt most people, they're recalling them because of labeling mismatches or what have you. That's a dangerous thing. If you have an allergy, which is a lot different than an intolerance. I mean, if you have an intolerance to something and it makes you nauseous or you had to go to the bathroom a lot or whatever, fine. But if it is a true allergy, it can create an anaphylactic reaction, and that can put you out of commission. Yeah, forever. 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. And Laura is in Willowbrook. What's up tonight, Laura?
Oh, I'm happy to get a hold of you. Sorry about last night. I was on late and there were so many people. I says, there's not much time, so I just dropped off and hung up on you to let somebody else go. Sorry about that.
No problem. You're here now.
All right. Well, I remember, but I don't know why people were mentioning and talking about their dog yesterday. So I just wanted to tell you a couple of things, and first my dog story.
Okay.
All right. 7 years ago, visited Texas. Instead of bringing home a T-shirt, I brought home a dog.
Ah, okay? What kind? What'd you bring?
He's a little 10-pound Bichon.
Oh, okay.
And so he's now 7, and his name is Cotton. Someday I'll send you a picture.
Okay.
But he, what I wanted to say, I think somebody was saying how good they are. Somebody's having a bad time. I says, you know, if you can afford an animal and if you can handle handle animals, animal is a great thing to have. 7 years ago, my mom, she's born in 30, so that's during the war, so you didn't spend money. And when we met this dog, and it says, well, you know, it's $400. And my mom's like to her, $400 was like a million. It's like, right. You were born in the Depression. You didn't spend $10, right. Okay? So she's like, well, if he's still, so they said, well, she always thought of thinking about it. I'll think about it, and they'll come back tomorrow. I says, Mom, I says, if you think about it, somebody else is going to take them. So she went and spent her $400. Unfortunately, a year later, she passed away, but he has been the best thing. He was the best thing for her, even like last night, kind of chilly, but we go walking at the park. If I'm having a bad day or just feeling kind of blah, and I like, okay, I got to get up and I got to take my pup for a walk. We spend a half hour at the park, see the other dogs. You know, it's not for everybody. Some people like cats. Some people just can't handle animals. That's fine. But it's just, Cotton's a treasure, and he's 7 years old. And I just had to tell you about that before a couple of other things. I've had a request.
Yes.
I'm kind of a Sammy Davis Jr. fan. Mm-hmm. Would you mind playing Candyman?
Okay, sure.
Okay, and hold on just a minute. I've lost my thought here. Also, I didn't get to hear the whole show last night, but I'm just curious of your opinion. I used to be a Beatles fan, not that I'm not now, but of course they eventually broke up. Ringo Starr went on his own. I heard that he's gone and done a country album. One, I wonder what you're thinking. I thought, what the heck is he thinking? He's 80-something. It's like country music from Ringo Starr.
Well, he always was a country fan. In fact, if you listen to some of the stuff where he sang lead with the Beatles, like Act Naturally, that, of course, is a Buck Owens record. He loved country. But that was not unusual in Great Britain. A lot of people thought that Johnny Cash was a rock and roller because, after all, he wore a black leather jacket and all of that. But no, Ringo has a decided country background. He loves that stuff.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, so that's nothing. Wow. That's nothing new for him, and
And really embarrassing. I didn't even know Ringo Starr was. I didn't know Ringo wasn't. I kind of thought that was a nickname, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, Richard Starkey. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. And one of these days, I'll send you a photo of Cotton.
Oh yeah, I hope you do.
He listens to the show with me.
And by the way, my favorite story is Liverpool is really mad at Ringo. You'll have to look that up if you want, but it's hilarious.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I will look it up.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay, bye. Yeah.
All right, bye.
Oh, man, it was great. All right, but before we do anything else, and we will, we've got Brian and Joliet and James on the South Side and Dave in Chicago. It's time. The moment has come, the moment you've been waiting for. I just know it. Now it's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
Kind of yellow.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and there it is, the status quo in a medley of their U.S. hits, Pictures of Matchstick Man. That was interesting because it was on Cadet Concept. And Cadet, as you know, was part of the Chess Checker group, Chess Checker Cadet, you know, and all those wonderful Dells records that were on Cadet and all that kind of stuff. Well, in 1968, Marshall Chess, the kid, was, they had to find something for Marshall to do, don't you know? And so they gave him Cadet Concept. And the label would be, I guess it formed in 67 originally, would be releasing psychedelic-leaning blues material. And actually, some of it, emphasis on blues, probably the most significant releases were a couple of Muddy Waters albums, Electric Mud and After the Rain. But along the way, they did some other things, and Pictures of Matchstick Men was one of them. When the company was sold to GRT, that's when they decided there's no real need for Cadet Concept anymore, and that was the end of it in 1971. But Eric and Barrington wanted to hear the status quo for reasons that completely elude me, but now he has. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. All right, Dave in Chicago's got some requests. What you want to hear, Dave?
Oh, hey, Raleigh. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, actually, and after that, I have a story myself about a medical thing, too. I heard a song, I looked up on the internet, and I forget who sang it, but I heard it years ago, and it just really cracked me up. I think it was kind of by the Five Keys. It was titled Ling Ting Tong.
Oh, that was a great record. Absolutely.
Oh, it cracked me up when I heard it. I used to hear it on the radio.
Yeah, it's the five. It was 1954, the Five Keys on Capitol, sure.
Yeah, and that was, and then also to another one maybe later, in the week, next week, if you can, it's a song that's called, it's by the Fleetwoods. And they did one, Come Softly. And then I heard that song. That's kind of a sad song. You ever notice how it sounds a little low-key? And it's it sounds kind of like the lyrics are sad.
That was a big hit for them. It was a follow-up to Mr. Blue.
Mm-hmm. And then were they young kids, like teenage?
Teenagers, pretty much. It was Barbara, Gretchen, and Gary, and Gary Troxell. In fact, Gary Troxell is famous now because the Supreme Court ruled on his case for grandparents' rights, and sadly he lost. It was a sad story. His son had committed suicide, and it was his son's child, and the mother remarried and refused to give them visitation. And so it worked it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And but after that, he became a logger. You know, I think he worked either in the logging industry or the mill, one of those things. Then there was Gretchen, Christopher, and Barbara. Why can't I think of Barbara's last name? But anyway, Gretchen was in San Diego. In fact, when I was on the air at KFMB, I would hear from her occasionally. Gretchen, Christopher, Barbara Ellis, that was her name. And they were in Washington, not Seattle, south. What's the Olympia, the capital? And Fleetwoods, mm-hmm. by the way, if you're wondering, that had nothing to do with the car. Fleetwood was the telephone exchange. And so that's what it came from. Now, originally, actually, Come Softly to Me was the first, before Mr. Blue, but it was originally on Dolphin. Now, the problem with that was that the guy who owned the label didn't realize there was a dolphin, and so he had to change it, and that's how Dalton came about. So, yeah, Bob Reivsdorf was his name. I think he was like a refrigerator dealer or something, but he had Dalton Records, and so it became Dalton. But when Come Softly to Me first came out, it was on Dolphin before Bob, and it was not only Bob Reisdorf, but Bonnie Guitar, who was pretty well known, mm-hmm. Owned it, and Lou Labenthal, and then in 63 Liberty bought it, but that was the deal. So yeah, the Fleetwoods, absolutely. As far as I know, Gary Troxell is still alive. Gretchen Christopher mm-hmm. is still alive. Barbara Ellis, the last I heard, she was in the Bay Area, and I do not know.
Yeah. And then to kind of segue a little bit, that other one, that's a cute little song. But anyway, I didn't have a chance to really call, but around the holidays, you mentioned talking about something about medical tonight. I've had a history of cellulitis.
Ooh.
And
tough.
So the first time I had it was in 2008.
Where?
And then in my right leg.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And then I had tripped in 2009, the summer, and I wound up with an abscess in my leg. It was kind of like a big bump. And then I wound up in the hospital back in 2000, just like Christmas time in 2009. I had to have that drained, yeah, and wound care for like a couple of months. And then it was now I got a, still got a scar from it, but
yeah, that's okay. The scar can be just a memory. Cellulitis is very serious. You could lose limbs with that. So a scar is just fine. Enjoy your scar.
But the thing is now, but then I had it. Then it was fine. But then in 2020, I had gotten it again, and then they put me in antibiotics. That's what they did then. So, and then Christmas Day, so I'm...
Here, hang on a minute. I hate to do this. We're going to leave you at Christmas Day with the antibiotics. I think I know where this is going, but I want to hear every word. But right now, I got to hear the news on WGN Radio.
Sure, no problem.
Dum do dum do be do dum 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 do dum. You so doobie-doo, please hold me so tight, doobie-doo, all through the night.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there they are, the Fleetwoods. That was the first thing. They were at Olympia High when they came up with them, and originally it was a girl group. It was Gretchen and Barbara, but then they invited Gary, who they thought would harmonize well with them, and of course he did, and the rest was history. So during the news, I said, I'm going to find out where Barbara Ellis was last, and the last place I could trace her was Ontario, California, where she was managing a trailer park, and since then, I have absolutely no idea, but Gretchen Christopher's still alone. Of course, Gary Troxell is still. So when I think of Gary Troxell, then of course I go on a tangent saying, well, what happened to Isabel and Natalie? You know, those were the grandkids. And so I don't know if they kept the name Troxell or changed it to Granville, which was their mother's, Tommy was their mother, Granville, or her subsequent husbands or something. But anyway, I think I found Natalie anyway, and she's a psychologist, and if it's the same one. So I was just reading some of her writings. All right, so 888-876-5593. We left Dave with the recurrence of cellulitis, which is just horrible. And so here they're giving you antibiotics, as they usually do, because the last thing they want it to become is systemic and have it shut your body down with sepsis. So go from there.
Yeah, well, actually what had happened, because the first time, a few times that I had it, and when I had Christmas Day, and I was supposed to go to my stepsisters, and so I felt sort of like I thought maybe it was like I had the flu, and I thought, I felt weak, I felt fatigued, and I thought to myself, wow. I felt a little tender, and I asked my mom. I said, "Hey, you know, does this look a little? Is this a rhinitis?" She goes, "Well, a little bit, you know." But I'm like, "Okay." And I thought maybe it was just irritation again. But then, because now what I found, I went home Thursday, you know, they dropped me off, and then Friday I said, "You know, it's kind of sore now. I'm going to go have it looked at the urgent care over here across from where I live." And then they said that the nurse practitioner, she goes, yeah, that leg looks kind of angry. So I think what we should do is get you to the emergency room. And that was like the 27th of December.
Okay.
And she goes, well, and so they get me over there. And you got to sit there for, I don't know, so many hours, 8 hours.
Exactly.
At least.
Right.
And so then they took me up and got to some tests to make sure I didn't have a blood clot and then anything went to the bone and one of those MRI things. And, and then they finally, the doctor comes in, he goes, yeah. He said, well, this is definitely, bacterial infection under the skin. he says, well, I'll tell you what, the pharmacy is closed right now. So how about we get your room, you stay overnight, and then maybe we'll start you in some antibiotics tonight. And then, you know, we'll see you tomorrow. We'll get some antibiotics and then maybe send you home. I said, okay, I'm fine with that. So I get admitted to a room, and then come to find out that I was in like an observation, you know, observation floor for like December 28th and 29th. And then, okay, that was fine. And I said, oh, I thought they were going to send me home. And then I'm just wondering what's going on. And they were just like, well, I think they just want to keep you to observe just to make sure that it doesn't spread. And
By the way, let me ask you, do they do a culture? Mm-hmm. Because when you're talking about cellulitis, it's usually strep or staph. Which was it?
I'm not sure. I think it was like a strep. Yeah.
Okay, because, you're almost better off with strep, because with staph you can wind up with MRSA.
Okay.
All right, so here you have streptococcus cellulitis, and you're in the hospital, and they're giving you antibiotics out the yin-yang, or I take it they're giving it to you intravenously?
They did, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so then they said, oh, okay, well, then what we're going to do now, come Monday, they said, okay, we're just going to put you in a regular room because it's going to be like a stay. And I said, oh, okay. And then they said, well, okay, they said, it's starting to look a little bit better, so we'll see if we can send you home tomorrow. I said, well, good, I hope so. I mean, I'd hate to spend the New Year's Eve in the hospital, but I said, but if I have to, I will. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a fun thing to do, but then part of it too was I have what they call a venous stasis in my legs.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that? Or?
Yeah, vaguely, but tell me.
Yes, venous stasis, it's just something that happens with the veins, and it just, and I guess it's something that is over time with the cellulitis, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my doctor, I said, well, the cellulitis, and I said, well, and then sometimes I get like this itching, and so I put some stuff on it to keep it moisturized. And he goes, well, that's because somehow, I guess the skin changes over time, so it's all this medical stuff, and it's just hard to follow. But
well, one of the things is it becomes an inflammation of the skin. But the interesting thing about an inflammation is what it comes from, and it's chronic venous insufficiency. And so then you want to find out, well, what's the cause of that? You know, you don't want to be treating just symptoms. You want to find out what's going on with the valves and the walls and the veins and what's happening. Why is blood not circulating from the legs back to the heart like it should be? Because that's what's causing that. And so by the time you're having the inflammation of the skin, you know, you're already kind of down the road on that. So my first question is, what's causing that? And the other thing, that they're keeping you in the hospital, though they didn't say it, my thought is they probably were trying to make sure that you weren't going to go into sepsis.
Oh, sepsis. Yeah, and those are terms I'm not familiar with.
That would be systemic. That would be everywhere. That could be deadly, but I mean, you know, you talk about fatigue and malaise and nausea. That's just the beginning of sepsis. So, and they don't want it, and it can go to that. So they want to make sure it's not. That's why you know, that's why they're giving you the intravenous doses of the antibiotics. But so they say it looks like it's clearing up. That's good news. What happens next?
Yeah, now on the February 14th, I'm going to go see a wound care doctor. So
good,
and then we'll see from there what they suggest. And but yeah, it did clear up, and it's just really mostly in the right leg. The left leg, I never had a problem. It's just in the right one.
Well, it sounds like it's coming from the venous insufficiency, and that every few years you wind up having a problem again. You do want a wound doctor. You also want him to work on what's the cause of this, because you need good blood flow in your legs, period. And that's what you'll work on. So yeah, I think the cellulitis is a symptom rather than a cause.
And I'm wondering if there is treatments that they do for things like that. If they have any kind of treatment?
Well, they do, for better or worse. And I'm sure the doctor will know a lot more about this than I would. But yeah, you've got some options.
Yeah, and plus too, I don't always, you know, I don't always eat healthy, of course. And then I have, I'm a guy, you know, I'm of course I'm 6'5", but I'm like in the 460-pound range, so that probably doesn't help it.
Well, elevating your legs can be helpful. So like when you're lying down, if you can elevate your legs, that's good. That'll help your blood flow.
And
wear the compression stockings.
Right, and yeah, that helps. Really helping.
And of course, the E word comes in. They want you to exercise. And they're not wanting you to go on some 5K run, but if you can walk on a treadmill or things that'll strengthen your legs, that'll help blood flow. You don't want to sit or stand for long times in the same position. Much like all the things that you would not want to do with a blood clot would be the same kind of thing. If you've got weight problem, they want you to lose the weight as much as possible.
Yeah, and that's the hard thing. And then the harder too, because when having limited sight and then having you know, exercise, well, I mean, you know, if you're going outside, I'm certainly not gonna walk fast and run into something. And here they have exercise bikes here, but I gotta see if they're accessible for people who are blind.
Right.
See, that's what another thing is.
Right. Oh, absolutely. But yeah, if you could get a treadmill that would be somewhat accessible, that would be your best stuff. Sometimes they put you on diuretics, and there's a downside to that too. But or you know, anticoagulants, things like that.
Yeah, they make you. Because I take them. I take the hydrochlorothiazide.
Oh yes.
I take lisinopril.
All right. Well, those are for your blood pressure. Hydrochlorothiazide is
just for water.
Right. It's just water. And the only thing with that is make sure you keep your potassium where it should be, because if you take too much hydrochlorothiazide, it can play with your potassium. So you want to check that. But losartan is actually one of the better ones when you're starting to get into those things. I would vote for that ahead of a lot of things, certainly ahead of lisinopril.
Yeah. Now, does John take a lot of medication, or now?
Well, you know, he never took anything until after a stroke. But of course, remember, he had a hemorrhagic stroke, so he can't take anything that would thin the blood. Because of course that's the last thing they want. But he takes blood pressure medicine. You betcha, and changes it up from time to time. Because all is not created equal, and some will give you side effects, and some won't. It's sort of like you kind of have to play with that until you kind of get where you want. They hate giving hydrochlorothiazide, and it's my all-time favorite as far as that. And, you know,
yeah.
I pressed for it, and it actually did help them. You know, because you want to watch at that point. You want to watch that you're not, you know, getting things like, kidney stones or things like that, you know. But there's stuff you can take for that as well. And so, yeah, he's good. But so you're taking the right drugs. Add the exercise. I hear the resistance in your voice. Add the exercise.
Because I mean, at my age, I'm not getting any younger. And everyone says, well, you know, you're still young. You're going to be. Well, I'm almost 51, so I think maybe have a chance.
Yeah, no, you're a child. You see, it's all relative. you're absolutely a child. So,
but I guess I'm an old. I guess I'm an old soul too. I guess with the music. So,
well, and God love you for that. But yeah, whatever it takes, get some exercise in the program, and let me know what your doctor says when you go. I'm curious what the wound guy's going to say.
Yeah, and then if you don't mind, that song I mentioned earlier with that group, the Five Keys, would you mind getting that on?
Yeah, Ling Ting Tong. You betcha. I'll play Ling Ting Tong for you.
That's I don't know if it would be tonight or maybe next week or
I don't know. Let's see. Everything I play tonight that people ask for, I'm pushing something aside. So we'll see. I'll try to get it on tonight, but if I don't, then I will get it on Tuesday.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, and I'm gonna I'll call back and see what they say if I can. It's just a matter of, and I'm always worried, thinking, oh, I hope this. It's like, what are they gonna say? Because you know, doctors, you get nervous. You're like,
remember, you're ultimately in charge. You have every right to reject any doctor's suggestions to you. That's up to you. And if you have something that doesn't resonate with you, you find a second opinion and maybe a third opinion. But do not feel pressured to go along with something that just doesn't feel right to you. Get more help.
Yeah. And then what stressed me out too, because I work part time, I do 6 hours a day where I work, and it's like, And then when I go to doctors, you know, they make you take your, they use to make you use your benefit time. And then if once you use that up, then I got to make, then I got to go ahead and readjust my schedule.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate all the way around.
It's just so overwhelming. It's like, I don't know what to do. It's like, I mean, but if I don't work, what am I going to do all day?
Right. No, exactly. Well, you start to prioritize. And I think your first priority is to find out why you have recurring cellulitis and deal with it. You know, because if that gets out of hand, then the rest of the stuff is going to go by the wayside anyway. So as far as priorities.
Yeah, I think you could lose a leg, I believe, from that.
You can. But I would say the venous insufficiency would be even more of a reason. But, you know, anything's possible. Hell, the sky might be falling. But, you know, don't go there. Don't buy that trouble. Fix it.
Yeah.
All right. Let me know. Thank you.
Hey, Raleigh, you take care. Thanks again.
All right, you too. Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh. And Tony is a first-time caller. So in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, welcome to WGN Radio.
I am a first-time caller.
I'm thrilled to have you.
Well, I'm grateful. I remember you from WWDB in Philadelphia.
Absolutely. That's right.
The recent accident involving tragedy with the flight in Washington, D.C.
Right.
I remember in 1982, when Air Florida Flight 90 flew into the Rochambeau Bridge,
right,
14th Street Bridge, or whatever it was.
The 14th Street Bridge, absolutely. And,
14th
you know,
Street Bridge.
Even at the time, we were saying that National, and that's before it was Reagan National, that National needs to be closed. No airport where you're making a left-hand turn at the monument is a good, a good trajectory. But all kidding aside, the FAA tried to close National on a few occasions, and Congress didn't want to lose the convenience of it. But that airport is a disaster.
Well, something unusual happened. I was a consultant at a business in Falls Church.
Uh-huh.
15 minutes from five traffic lights from my home in Fairfax. My apartment in Fairfax, Virginia.
Okay.
And due to a blizzard, we were released early, and my normal 15-minute trip home took a little under 4 hours because of the snow. You know, cars ahead of us, it was quite hilly, and cars were going up, sliding backwards down the hills and so on. Anyway, almost 4 hours after I left work, I arrived at home, and I just recently purchased a Radio Shack scanning radio.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I got home, I realized this was perhaps a wonderful opportunity to see what it could do. So with the user manual in one hand, I started scanning radio frequencies. And I encountered reporters calling in their stories unedited for later editing. And police closing roads, traffic lights, because they wanted to make available a route for emergency vehicles and so on. Anyway, at some point, while I was scanning, I came across a frequency in which I heard a voice I sort of recognized. It wasn't until somebody said, "Thank you, Mr. President," that I realized I was overhearing a conversation between Ronald Reagan and somebody who was at the scene of the accident, which I could tell because there were sirens and so on in the background. And it was sort of a courtesy call, you know, if there's anything I can do, let me know and so on. It was only lasted, I got about the last 60 seconds of the phone call, and it was years later I contacted the Reagan Library and obtained the telephone logs for that day, and Ronald Reagan had been speaking to Marion Barry, then the mayor of Washington, D.C., and it was, you know, I was staggered that I was able to do this. Of course, if you wanted to talk to the Secretary of Defense, they would have all kind of secure communications. But if you wanted to talk to me or some random stranger, then he just had to use the same frequencies other people use.
Hang on a minute. I don't want you, Tony, I don't want you to go away. I got to do the news, but I want you staying right where you are because I want to pick it up right after the news. Don't go away, okay?
All right.
All right. We'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
Try some okumbu diet. Try some okumbu. I went to Chinatown, way back in old Hong Kong, to get some egg foo young. Thai some okumbu, Ling Ting Tong, he would never be wrong. Go on and sing your song, Ling Ting Tong. Ling Ting Tong, can you sing that song? Go, Thai some okumbu, Daye, Thai some okumbu.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, there they are, 1954 on Capitol, the Five Keys and Ling Ting Tong. I have no idea what it means, and I'm not even sure that Mabel Godwin knows, and she wrote it. All right, so we're talking to Tony, who's a first-time caller in Phoenixville, and so here he is on his radio, scanning that dial and hearing the president talking to Marion Barry. All right, pick it up from there.
Well, it wasn't very hard. I contacted the Reagan Library in California, I think, and had a very pleasant email exchange with one of their operatives, and they provided me with the phone logs for President Reagan for that day.
Yeah.
And I determined from that that the conversation I'd overheard between President Reagan and, at the time, unknown to me person,
right,
was in fact Marion Barry.
Wow.
And it was, you know, quite sweet. I only caught the last 60 seconds or so of the call, but it was, you know, if there's anything I can do, do let me know, and this is terrible tragedy and so on. Anyway, that's the story. I basically, my first use of this scanning radio from Radio Shack,
yeah,
I overheard a conversation between the President of the United States and some other person.
Yeah, and back then on those scanners, you absolutely could, because that was January of 1982. And those scanners were hilarious, how much you'd hear, not with necessarily famous people, but the most infamous one I remember, I was on the 101 in Los Angeles, and I'm scanning along while this with a friend, and we're, you know, dialing in and hearing all this stuff. And this guy, he calls the hospital to talk to his wife, who sounded like she had her jaw wired. I don't know, but basically he was saying, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll try to get to visit you tonight. I'm not sure, and all that. He hangs up the phone. The next call apparently is to the mistress, and he says, honey, chill the wine. I'll be right there. And I thought, oh, this is going to be good. I can't wait to hear more of these. So yeah, I loved that, but it didn't last.
I overheard some really quite secretive communications between, I'm sure, a gentleman who was arranging an assignation at his mother's house,
uh-huh,
between him and his lover,
uh-huh,
obviously not his wife.
Right.
And also security guard who was observing some kind of sexual interaction between people in a car in a parking lot and, mm-hmm, so on. I don't know that it's possible to do such things today,
no,
because,
no,
of encryption.
Well,
but
yeah, totally different
it was
now.
In the early days.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the early days of radio communication or portable phone communication between,
yep,
locations and central bases and things. And it was really quite remarkable. But on basically the first time I attempted to use, yeah, my radio scanner,
you get the president. That was pretty good.
I got the president, which is just staggering to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that made you use that thing regularly after that.
I still have it. It's in my garage, probably really like below zero at the moment in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But I still have it, but I'm sure that after having achieved overhearing the president on the first time I attempted to use it with the user manual in my hand, that was it.
That's great. That's great.
I can't beat that.
No, that's wonderful. And, of course, you got confirmation of that with the log from the library, so that's terrific.
I did. They sent me 3 pages. He's talking to Michael Deaver and some luminary journalist in D.C. and various other people whose names I recognize.
Right.
And 2 calls to or with the mayor of Washington, D.C. About the tragedy that took place on the Rochambeau Bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I love that story. And yeah, amazingly, on that Air Florida case, there were like 5 survivors. And I don't know whatever happened to those people, but one was a woman. She was in the news for a while. I don't know. And then, of course, Howard Stern, he was at WWDC then. He on the air, he called an Air Florida ticket counter to ask about buying tickets to the 14th Street Bridge. Needless to say, that was right after the crash. That did not go over well. And it was, you know, an interesting time. But as I say, the FAA for years has wanted to close this down, and Congress objects strenuously because of the convenience.
Well, we're used to it these days at State of the Union addresses, but I think there was a fellow called Lenny Skutnik who was introduced by President Reagan at the next State of the Union address.
Okay.
And he had provided some kind of assistance. He'd like swum in to retrieve passengers and so on. Anyway, I think he was the first of the celebrities to be introduced at a State of the Union address. And in this case, it was President Reagan.
Yeah, no, I remember that story because, right, without hesitation, he just jumped right into the water and swam to her and got her. I remember that. And big news, obviously, at the time, because it didn't look like there was going to be anybody who made it. But yeah, nice stuff. Well, sadly, we won't hear about survivors in this one, but I really hope people will recognize what a disaster having Reagan National Airport there is and make the drive to Dulles or make the drive to BWI. Don't keep this going.
Absolutely. I remember I used to live in Fairfax, and occasionally I was taking flying lessons at the time. And I used to drive to the end of some highway where you could just pull off, and flights landing or departing from National Airport, as it was at the time, used to fly just feet over your head.
Right.
And it was fascinating and interesting, but people die occasionally in commercial aircraft. And it's a tragedy and horrible and so on.
Yeah, and it's rare, of course. I mean, the number of passengers safely arriving certainly dwarfs any incident like this. And it's been since 2009 that we've had a crash. But regardless, when you have a situation where you know you've got an airport that it's only a matter of time because of the location and everything else, that I just think these politicians need to reevaluate convenience.
Indeed.
We'll see.
Anyway, I used to enjoy listening to you in Philadelphia when you were active here.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, I used to think you lived in Texas, but...
I was in Austin. I was in Austin before Philadelphia, but I've been in 32 cities, so I haven't missed many of them.
All right. Well, best to you.
I hope you will call me again.
I will.
Good.
You must fish out from your quiz or query competition, something to do with classical music, because I know almost nothing about the music that you play, but well, perhaps I'll give it a shot.
No, if you call some Monday night, I will find some classical. We'll play the greatest hits of the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s just for you.
I'm deeply grateful.
All right. Good
evening.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Okay, bye. All right, one of the people who survived that Air Florida crash was actually a flight attendant, and I think that she has been interviewed today. I haven't heard it, but I did see in one of the headlines that they talked to this woman, so that'll be interesting as well. But I'm telling you, they got to close this airport. That's all there is to it. There's not too many that we used to call them XXX airports. I don't think they use that anymore, but there's not too many where it's just a matter of time, but as far as I'm concerned, this is one of them. All right, so 888-876-5593. Brian and Joliet, what's up?
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
That one song you played, what was that, Matchsticks Men?
Oh, Pictures of Matchstick Men by Status Quo. Yeah, what a horrible record.
Their souls became psychedelicized.
Well, that's right, and that was Marshall Chess promoting that. What can I tell you? There wasn't a follow up, thank God.
Well, I was wondering if I could have a couple requests, please.
All right, it'll be next week, but let's hear what you got.
Casanova, It's All Over.
Oh yes, Ruby on the Zodiac label.
Who did that again?
Ruby Andrews.
It's
Casanova, Your Playing Days Are Over.
And
by the way, they couldn't spell Casanova. So when people look for that record, if they don't understand that it's a misspelling, they rarely find it.
Aw.
Yeah.
It's such a great record.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. It's All Over. Casanova. Yeah, absolutely. That was her big claim to fame, but she did a lot more than that, actually. And but yeah, Casanova, Your Playing Days Are Over, right there on the Zodiac label.
And if you have a chance sometime, could you play Don't Look Any Further by Dennis Edwards?
Oh, okay. I don't think I played that recently. Okay.
You did?
I don't think I have, so that's good.
Well, I don't remember.
Yeah, no, I don't think I know the record, but I don't think I played that. So I'll be happy to.
Whatever happened with Dennis Edwards? He had that song, and then I never heard. I know he was with the Temptations, took over for David Ruffin.
Well, of course, he died in 2018. So that was that. But and he was probably most known, like you say, for taking over for Ruffin. But Don't Look Any Further. That was I think Saidiya Garrett is who's on that record, the female voice, and he got to Detroit when he was a kid. The usual stuff, singing in church, you know, Mighty Clouds of Joy, and being at Conservatory of Music. And when he learned that Sam Cooke switched from gospel to secular, he said, "Yeah, you know." And he started a group, Dennis Edwards and the Firebirds. And but he couldn't listen to music at home because his family didn't want to hear any of that secular stuff. So he recorded something on a label no one's ever heard of, International Soulville Records. And then after that, he went into the Army and was in Europe for a few years. And then he auditioned for Motown. And that was a deal where, and they did this to a lot of people, they signed him, but they put him on a retainer. And so that would mean they put him where they wanted. So he was hoping to be a solo act, but he was assigned to join the Contours when Billy Gordon got sick. And so then they were the opening act for the Temptations. And, of course, that's where that friendship started. And then, David Ruffin and all that. And so when Edwards quit the Contours, he was placed back on retainer. And then he tried to get released because, remember, Holland Dozier Holland, they absolutely wanted out of Motown because they weren't getting their royalties. And
right.
So they left and they had formed Invictus. And he was going to go over there. And so before he got over there, he was drafted to do the Temptations. And so he did that for the rest of his life.
So he...
Well, he was still under contract with Motown, and he did record an album. And unfortunately, the album was shelved, and he was pretty upset about that. I think he went to Cleveland and was working laying concrete driveways, believe it or not. And he was just really, really upset. But then...
He was doing what?
He was laying concrete. He was working for a relative's company in Cleveland, literally making concrete driveways. And, you know, because you can't, and I understand that. You get to that point where you say, you know, I'm just not going to take this anymore. Well, in 1980, he rejoined the Temptations, because when he left the first time, Lewis Price replaced him. Then Lewis Price left, but it was a deal where the Temptations had been off the label, and they re-signed, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so that was the deal there. And I think in 84, that's when he got to have a solo career, you know, with Don't Look Any Further. So they finally were willing to do that. And they did a couple other singles. And he was hopeful that there would be more coming. He even wanted like a duet with Aretha Franklin, whatever, and all that. But, you know, bottom line is it wasn't really meant to be. And then he goes back to the Temptations again. And you know how that is. Then there was Ruffin, Kendricks, and Edwards. You know, so after that, I don't know. I think it was back to the Temptations till he died, I think.
Yeah, such a wonderful voice to me.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know, he and Aretha had a relationship, and in fact, he's supposedly the inspiration behind her song "Daydreamin' and a Thinkin' of You," and then. He was briefly married to Ruth Pointer, but that was maybe a couple years. And then he moved to right outside of St. Louis to be close to his mother. And anyway, he was back in Detroit, and he died. But I think it's like 2018. And I think it was, he was like just shy of his 75th birthday or something like that. And that was the deal. And he's buried in St. Louis.
Well, thank you so much for the information, Raleigh, and taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hope to hear from you soon. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye now.
All right. Yeah, I probably have to make a flow chart to see how many times he left and rejoined the Temptations, but I think other than that one foray in 84, most of his career probably was known for that. But what I need to do at some point, since he was with the Contours, and I've never bothered to do that, what did he sing on anything like First I Look at the Purse? I want to know that. I have no idea. All right, well, I have no idea about a lot of things, but Barbara's a first-time caller, and she is in Dubuque. All right, so Barbara, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. I thoroughly enjoy your show and all of your knowledge, and I have a similar animal story.
Okay.
Like the gentleman that called earlier.
Uh-huh.
I just left my house and went down the street, saw an animal with something on its nose, and it was either a possum or a raccoon. I can't remember for sure. It's been a few years ago. But it was a peanut butter jar stuck on its nose.
Oh.
And I talked to him and was able to get him to stop. And I pulled, and the animal pulled, and finally it popped off.
Oh, wow, that's great. That's great. You did the animal a good turn. Could you tell it was grateful?
I think so. It didn't run away. It made no attempt to run away.
Yeah.
Just walked away slowly.
Good. Good. Well, that was your good deed. There's a star in heaven for that.
Yeah, I was very thankful that I could help the poor thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's funny because on the screen it says Barbara, first time caller, animal stories. I thought, oh, we're talking about Larry Lujak's animal. No, that's a great animal story, and I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Do it again. All right.
Okay,
so
bye-bye.
Dubuque checks in. All right, 888-876-5593. We are running out of time is what we are doing. So we got Tubby in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio. How are you, Tubby?
I'm good. How are you, Raleigh?
I can't complain.
I know, we ain't complaining, ain't gonna do no good.
That's so right.
I got in tonight just in time. I got in late, but I said, it's Thursday already. I said, I gotta check in. And I want to just make a comment to thank everyone for their wonderful contributions. We all make the show. You know, you're the master. You know more stuff. It's amazing what you know. And I really like that you're sharing that information with us. And I appreciate your empathy and compassion for people. But I really, I'm going to do my shout out before I forget. Jim James and Donnie D before I forget.
Yeah.
I want to know that I hear when people come that we encourage each other with our remembrance of good things, our stories, and that we keep on trying. That's the part. You don't have these good stories if you don't stay in the game.
Absolutely
right.
You
ain't got nothing to share.
No, you're 100% right.
If we're not staying in the game, I read an article. It just popped in my head just now. I was reading some old New York Times magazines. I don't like the new format, but they're free. I get them free. And so on the inside page, there was a woman who wrote an article about avalanches. And she got about, I'm saying 5 to 7 letters that said that the people got so much out of a lot of parts of different walks in life.
Yeah.
Because of this article. And what I like the most, because I don't like the way everyone writes.
Tubby, I hate to do this. John says I'm out of time and the show is over. Can you call me next week?
I will.
All right.
I love you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Me too. All right. Sorry about that. Thanks to Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, thanks to all of you who are calling and apologies to those I didn't get. But that's why we got next week. We got Monday Night Trivia on Monday and then Tuesday through Thursday. Whatever's on your mind will be on mine. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.